Hello, my name is Colm O'Regan, and you're listening to the latest episode of The World Etc., a podcast in association with Throwcra, where we look at some of the world's topical issues. I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by two very special guests who are visiting Ireland as guests of Throwcra, having worked with their partner organisations. We'll be focusing on life in the Gaza Strip under the blockade, as well as issues around women's rights, gender-based violence, and ultimately what daily life is like in testing conditions such as those. Our guests today are Hala Rizik, a Palestinian resident living in Gaza, who works with a number of local and international organisations in the area of developmental cooperation and human rights. Her current role is working on gender-based violence and women's rights. I'm also joined by Mona Al-Shawa, who is the director of the Women's Rights Unit of the Palestinian Centre for Human Rights, or PCHR. She started her career there in 1997 as a researcher and took on her current role in 2004. She leads all PCHR activities and conducts training sessions on human rights, women's rights and gender. First of all, Hala and Mona, you are very welcome to The World Etc. and very welcome to Ireland. If I could start with you, Mona, how have you found your trip to Ireland so far?
Good morning, and let me thank our partner Throwcra to give us the chance and this great opportunity to be in this beautiful country and meet these beautiful people in Ireland and particularly in Dublin. So the chance to be out of Gaza, it's such we faced a lot of troubles and obstacles to be here. We need a lot and long process. And we have a lot of activities. We have great meetings with several organizations work in Ireland with related to women's rights. Actually, we do believe this is very important. In Gaza, we always receive delegation from islands and from our partner, Throwcra, keep visiting us. But this is, and we do appreciate their visits because we do believe that when you come and see by your own eyes is something different than you read in articles or in the media what is going on in Gaza. But when we came to Ireland and they speak with the people about, and they can feel us more as a human being living in this is hard circumstances and as a working people who is working under very hard circumstances in an atmosphere full of many problems. So it's really, we are really grateful and it's our honor to be here and to speak with the people and to give us the chance to listen to our voices. So yes, it is a really great chance.
Hala, did you find speaking about Gaza outside of Gaza and in a completely different place, Dublin, that you had a bit of breathing space to describe the issues in a different way than if you were describing them back home?
Yes, actually, again, thanks for Throwcra for this great opportunity. As Mona said, it was a miracle to get out from Gaza. All the time we received people coming from outside, but it's very few and very little for some people to get out from Gaza and to meet the other people outside Gaza. Actually, it was a very excellent experience talking to women, to people here, because when people come to Gaza, they came for a specific thing. So they just come to ask about something or to see something, and that's it. But when you are going out of Gaza, carrying all the thoughts and the dreams and the words for women from women in Gaza, and it's a responsibility for you to talk in front of the world, the outside the world, and carry these dreams and thoughts and words. It's very good and different from talking inside Gaza between the people themselves and to represent them outside. And also when I come back to Gaza, I'm already carry with me a lot of words also and thoughts and ideas and some creative things that we can implement also in Gaza and to encourage women in Gaza to go ahead and to move toward their rights and their hopes in the future. So yes, this is really different.
It's the one thing a blockade can't stop. It's what's in your head, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yes.
So you are here representing Gaza, and often from Irish and other, you know, media in this part of the world, we see Gaza through a lens. It's a lens of sometimes it's dictated to us by whatever the strategic interest of the media organization that's showing us. But we just see protests or destruction, and that is so much a part of life. But is it important to be able to say we are human beings and these are our human stories?
Yes, this is the point, actually. This is the most important point we carry. We would like to introduce ourselves first as a human being. We have a normal life. We should have a normal life. We should live in dignity as everyone in this world. We have our dreams. We have our pain. And we have our hope that we need to have a better life. So actually, people outside didn't see the people of Gaza like this. The point is, you have to look us as a human being, a normal human being. Actually, we have, like any, we cry, we became happy, we became sad, and we have our hope, we have our dreams. So this is the point, actually, to see us as a human being, sharing all of these. You know, we do believe the context of women in Gaza is totally different than the context of women in Ireland. But we also believe that women are women wherever. And women can even feel with others, share. We would like to share with them our experience as women working in this complicated situation under conflict since long time, as a woman who are double victim from the occupation and from the patriarchal society, and how much we faced in trouble in this, and how much we are have an obstacle in the field to be a women rights defender in our context. So this is really the point. So yes, we would like to share this with others here.
Is it hard to get awareness for gender-based violence within a conflict zone? Because when you look at conflict, it's often in terms of cold, hard stats, and the statistics about Gaza are very harrowing. The overcrowding, the fuel shortage, the dependence on food aid, but it's almost like they're gender neutral, and then gender violence is treated as, okay, let's fix this first, then we'll get to gender violence. But would you say that actually by addressing gender violence, you solve, well, it's very hard to solve, but you address the underlying issues as well?
Yes, actually, you are right. The talking about gender and gender-based violence, yani, in our context in Gaza, come in the low priorities for the people in Gaza and for women. And this is unfortunately happened because of all the conflict there, the hard situation that the families or people, especially women, suffering there. So they have another priorities. They have another priority of eat, to drink, to wear dress, to go to the schools, more than talking about something which actually affected their life, but they didn't recognize that it's affected their lives. So women are sitting in a closed cycle, running for just to gain the basic life needs, the basic needs of life. So it was hard for the organizations, the women organization and the feminist activists to start talk and address these needs and sometimes it's a problem that women start to justify the violence that they faced. It's okay because of the closure, because of the psychological hard situation that people suffer, that because of the poverty, because of the hard economic situation. It's okay to face some kind of violence. It's not acceptable.
It's in inverted commas natural. I can't blame them as much.
Yes. So, sometimes women start to justify the violence, and it's a problem to to work. But we, doing some efforts to raise the awareness of women about addressing the gender and GBV in order to start solving the issues, because it's a closed cycle. If you start with this thing, you will solve the other things in this cycle.
And Hala Rizik, who I'm talking to now, where do you start in that closed cycle? It seems going round and round. Where do you jump on the circle to make that first impression?
Yes, actually, we used to work like this. We started to work with women at the beginning. So some point, the women start to say, okay, we are convinced about what you are saying. This is our rights, but because of our context, our culture, our traditions and customs and religion, we couldn't do anything. So you have to target our husbands and our men. So we start to target the men in the family and talking about these issues. So the men start to say, okay, now we are convinced about what are you saying, but it's khalas for us. It's time is finished because we already married and have our lives. And so you can start with the youth. So we start with the youth, the young couple, and so on. So we all the time we run and make like a monitoring and evaluation step by step, in order to catch the real point that we have to work with.
And Mona, in that it sounds like it's low tech, it's human to human, it's slow. How do you measure results when you are starting in this huge problem?
Actually, this is the most complicated, because measure the results is very complicated, as we are working in a social life and to change with the concepts and to change the attitude, which takes long time. It's not easy to measure, and it's not easy to know what kind of a change has you have made. And sometimes it's out of your hand, because the situation in Gaza is changeable. You know, we are here, but we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Maybe we have another offensive. Gaza has three offensives in 2009, 2012, 2014. Thousands of people have killed, and it is suddenly by attacking Gaza. So maybe tomorrow they will attack Gaza. So sometimes it's hard to know what's going to happen. And it's, as I told you, it's hard to measure, as we are working to change the behavior. And with all these hard situation and the black picture of Gaza, we are speaking about a high average of poverty have ever seen in Gaza before, high average of unemployed, and high average of people who with no jobs, with no salary. 80% of the population are depending on the international aid. And so you look at this black picture, and of course, under these circumstances, the violence rating will increase. This is normal. It's normal of this black picture in Gaza to see increasing of numbers of violence, increasing of... we have also a new kind of social problems we have never before, that because of the crisis in the humanitarian life and the crisis in the economic situation in Gaza.
Just to give a bit of context, can you describe the blockade and how it affects, you alluded to it earlier, and how complicated it was to get here, or how much of a miracle it was to be in this studio this week. But can you describe the daily realities in small examples of what it means to be effectively a locked up country?
A lot of examples.
Actually, if we want to talk, we need millions of hours to finish. Actually, Gaza suffering from the blockade and siege since 13 years. It's completely closed. We are not allowed to get out. No one from Gaza. We have two borders or two opens in Gaza Strip. We already have the border with Rafah, Egypt. Border with Egypt, and it was closed for many years. Just started last year with the very few days opening, with the very specific cases that allow to cross. students need to finalize their universities outside, or patients. This is the only people who can who allow to cross Rafah border. They have to register and wait like 4 or 5 months in order to allow them to cross. The other border is the Bet Hanun checkpoint across. It's with the Israeli. We have to cross, and it's completely closed. You can cross this checkpoint just in two cases. If you are patient and need to treat outside Gaza. And the other one, if you are an employee in international organization and you have like an يعني, urgent or يعني, something very important to cross. So because of that, we start to prepare for visiting Iran since 4 months. And it was a miracle, really. It was a miracle to when we know that we can't pass Erez. The time take for us to cross Erez and reach Jordan, 12 hours. It's supposed to take
hours.
Just 4 hours, and we spend 12 hours. This blockade and this siege affected all the life aspects and all the life fields in Gaza Strip, starting with health, for example. There is no medication allowed to enter Gaza. There is no there is a huge shortage in the hospitals, medication and disposable. There is no treatment inside the hospitals, and most of the, especially for cancer people, for example, the cancer patient and the kidney failure. So they have to get out of Gaza to have the treatment outside, and it's not allowed. For example, in the hospitals, because of the electricity crisis, which also from the Israelian, many of the machines, for example, for the kidney failure washing, it's not allowed. It's a problem. They couldn't do it. Many of people, especially the cancer patients, are dying in Gaza because they haven't the treatment inside Gaza, and they are not allowed to get out. Because if you are, there is a security clearance from the Israelian, they have to done even for the patient people. And tens of people are denied to cross the areas. If we talk about wash, there is no water resource, drinkable water resource in Gaza at all. And all people in Gaza have to buy water to drink. And it's expensive. Because of the blockade, the economic situation is extremely hard. And extremely hard for people even to buy the water they have to drink. You can imagine even the water you couldn't buy. And if we talk about food security, it's the same. There is no people, as Mona mentioned, we have the highest unemployed percentage in the world. We have the highest poverty rate. We have already 75% of people living under the poverty. We have 52% of people unemployed. We have 80% of people living on the international aid. They give them food basket and something like this. If we talk about education, for example, also the same. We already have inside Gaza, we have two type of education. We have education from UNRWA, and it serves the refugees. And also the refugees in Gaza considered as 70% of population in Gaza are refugees and served by UNRWA. And the other is from the for the government. For the government, let's say to be know that because we already have the internal division, we have two government. We have Hamas in Gaza, it's de facto government, and the one in Ramallah, it's with the PA. So the government in PA making some punishment for people in Gaza. The punishment is for the government, Hamas government, but actually who are affected, the people inside Gaza. So after UNRWA crisis, after the shortage of the fund from America to UNRWA, they decreased.
So just to explain, this is the UN organization that is
For refugees, UN Agency for Refugees.
Yeah. So the U.S. has reduced or cut off the money to that?
Yes. After Trump launching the moving of the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and they punished also the UNRWA because they served the Palestinian people inside Palestine and outside Palestine. So these services are decreased because the fund is for UNRWA is decreased. And for the government, it's already there is no fund for the government because it's under siege. This government with all the services it's provide, it's like separated of the other parts of Palestine and other part in the world because it's under blockade. We are under blockade. If we talk about protection, for example, as we are working on GBV and violence issues, it's extremely hard because we haven't shelters, for example. We haven't services from the police itself because it's the government faced problems in this regard. There's no budget for the government to serve the people in all aspects of life and so on.
And so, say, in the area of gender-based violence, you don't have this network of shelters. Is part of your work trying to improvise, to have an informal, an informal network to get people out of danger? Is that what happens in a conflict zone when you're dealing with gender-based violence?
Yes, actually, but I have to mention that we have one shelter for women who are suffering from violence. The target is women who have no place to go or her life is under risk. And Gaza was in need for this shelter since long time. But no government since the establishment of BA in Gaza in 1994 have the courage to have this shelter. And all the time they keep saying Gaza is a very sensitive for these issues and it's hard to have a shelter. But now we have it and it's okay. Maybe we need to, many of these people who work in this shelter working under a few resources. But by the end, it's okay to have, the shelter. We have such a referral system in the organization. Like, if any, for Trokra partner, for instance, we are Women's Affairs Centers, there is Gaza Community Mental Health, and we are in PCHR, a legal organization. We, as a partner of Trokra, we know each other, and we have networking. And if in Gaza Community Mental Health program have any case would like to have a legal assistant, they transfer it to us. And we, if we have any case need a psychological treatment, we transfer it to Gaza Community Mental Health Program. So we have this sort of networking. And in this, we encourage women to use the services of these NGOs. We have to mention, Andre's a very important point, that in any society, civil society works a role to complete the role of the government. But unfortunately, in Gaza, we play the role of government. With this lack of services in the government, and so people, the civil population and the people come to our organization to have help and they are in need to our services, actually. And all the time I keep saying to myself, how could these people, what will happen to them if there is this organization is not exist? It will be really a crisis more than this situation. How much is it complicated and how much these people are in need for these services? So yes, we can say civil society, civil organization are playing a role of government in Gaza.
And you are here representing those organizations, those people, as you say, bringing the thoughts and ideas, through the blockade in your heads over to Ireland and bringing back.
Yes.
In your time here, what are you saying? Are you saying, can you help us specifically? Are you asking people to raise awareness of Gaza and talk about the human stories. What has been, what's your mission? What's the most important thing,
the most,
important reason you're here?
Yes, to raise our voices, as I told you, and to raise the voices of all women in Gaza who lived in very hard conditions, and to keep say that we have hopes, we have dreams, we need to live in dignity, we need to see an end for this blockade, we need an end to see an end for this occupation. We have the longest occupation in the history, and it's our right to have a freedom. And we are human, and you have to look us as a human, not as victims. We are not good victims. We are human being, want to live in dignity. And we will keep struggle to have this dignity and have this freedom. So we need your support with us to support our rights, to support that we need it to end this siege, end this blockade, end this occupation, and ask Israel for all their, it's a crimes actually. We need accountability for all these war crimes happened in Gaza. And it still happens. So this is our voice, yes.
Mona, thank you for that. That's Mona Alshawa speaking there. Hala, just finally, what do you hold on to in terms of hope that helps you get through a working day when you are working in a crisis situation with people who are in trouble? What are the moments that help you get through the day?
Actually, people in Gaza, especially women in Gaza, love life. We are doing our best to keep life with this smile, with this hope, with the hope in the for the future. Although of the very hard and very black picture that we live in, but all the time we are creative women. We are creative people. You cannot imagine how many people in Gaza are creative people and can do many, many things. You cannot imagine how much we can cope with our situation and can manage everything. You can imagine when we talk about life without electricity, without water, without food, and although the people is keep studying and making an excellent things and being talents in the world, for me actually all the time I believe in myself and in people in Gaza and in our partners and in the international community who support us and like us and love us and believe in us. So I think these people who support us, like Trukra, like other international organization who support and work with us and help us, with this support, I think we can keep going on with the love of life and the hopes with the people in Gaza. We will keep on. We will solve everything, inshallah. And being partners, being coordinate together, being doing everything together, it will be the best in the future and will solve everything and help us in the future, inshallah.
Although you're both from Gaza, I'm sure you're aware of Trokra's support for the Occupied Territories Bill here in the Dáil in Ireland, introduced by Senator Francis Black. Mm-hmm. For those listening who don't know, this bill seeks to make it an offence for a person to import or sell goods or services originating from an occupied territory. It's relevant to where you're coming from. What are your thoughts on that bill and others like it, the idea of goods originating from illegal settlements or occupied territories that we don't buy them? Where do you stand on that?
It's really great work, and we really appreciate it, and highly appreciated all kind of this support, and for us it is really very important, and it also give us this feeling that there is people beside us and would like to do their best in order to help the Palestinian people, and we really appreciate it, yes.
Is it one of those things where even if the bill either A, didn't succeed or didn't have a huge economic effect on who it's designed to affect, that it's still important that it exists.
The idea. Yes. The idea itself is such a great,
Actually, the idea is to raise the voice to for us to feel that there is someone support us or feel about us. Just knock the door. Even not, there is not any full aid or any a huge aid, but at least if someone is there supporting you, listening to you, seeing what is happening with you, it's very good and very nice. It's amazing. Actually, with the senator, I combine her when she come to Gaza, and I feel very, how she feel the words of the people. She met the people in the street. She met the fishermen, listening to them. You know, when you talk from the heart, it comes to the heart. We are not talking from our mouth, but from our hearts. And this is what happened with the senator when she came to Gaza. I feel that she feel really, because people are talking and they're suffering deeply from their hearts. And she also see in her eyes what is happening. She go to the borders and see the Great March of Return. So I think the bill that she had was very, very excellent and very strong, very nice. And we appreciate it. We are in people in Palestine and in Gaza particularly, we appreciate it. And there is people believe in us and know. And because, you know, all the time we hear and the things that we saw that Israel is above the law. All the time. So many crimes that Israel happened and no one talk about it or no one hear about. Sometimes the people in Gaza reach to the point that they are disappointed.
Frustrated.
No one can. Okay, even sometimes when we go to make like a documentation, because there is a organization partner with Trukra, we tell them it's document the crimes of the Israeli or the Israeli violation in general. Sometimes, our colleagues talk to us that sometimes when she go to document a story or a case for some Israeli violation, the people start to say, okay, what will happen? No one can talk to Israel. No one can ask Israel about what are you doing. Israel above the law. So it's chalas. But when some people, with some international organization, when some significant people like the senator or other people come to Gaza and listen to us and make something in their countries, it's really very important to us to feel that, no, you are not alone. There's people support you and help you. We are not in need just only for money to have food or the basic life needs, but also we in need to this feeling of dignity, of appreciating you are human beings. We have to support you and help you. You deserve this. You are human being like the others in the country. It support us much and help us much to keep on going. And as I told you, people in Gaza are creative. You cannot imagine. You can ask about anything. You can ask anything. Even with the very limited resources, people can do it in Gaza. With this support from the other countries and the international community, I think we will manage at the last. Even it will take time, but we will manage in the last, inshallah.
My name is Colm O'Regan, and you have been listening to The World Etc. I'd like once again to thank our guests, Hala Rizik and Mona Al-Shawa. You can subscribe to our podcast on all the usual platforms, Apple, iTunes, Acast, Spotify, Radio Public and Audioboom. Thank you once again for listening to The World Etc.